They're going, and we're live. Buenos dias.
Orale.
Episode 16. 16. That's how you say it, man. I listen.
You listen? What, did you listen to, like, Google Translator or something?
Google Translation Audio. And it sounded really good. So I practiced it all day, man. I started at 8 a.m. DC 6.
That's bitching.
So, well, it's kind of sad. But we're here, and we're talking about the good stuff, the higher things.
Yeah. We're talking about cheap shit. That's what we're talking about.
Talking about cheap shit.
Mm-hmm.
With a name, man, with a name, with a history for a brand, Jose Piedra, Joe Stone.
Joe Stone?
Joe Stone, man. Piedra, man, that's Stone, man.
Oh, really? Oh.
Stone, man, that's
that sounds more awesome.
Yeah, Joe Stone.
You see, when I was thinking about Jose Piedra, I was like, he's either like some filthy gangster, you know, like some street gangster, or he's like some bum-ass farmer who don't have no money, and he's got to sell all of his tobacco to Castro, so he keeps all the rest of the shit and just rolls up his own cigars and is content, you know. Now that you say Joe Stone, I'm wondering if he's like the Cuban brother to Keystone, you know.
Exactly.
The guy in the Keystone Ice commercials with the rockin' frickin', mullet. Wonder if Jose Piedra is like the Cuban mullet guy.
Oh, he totally is. The sketchy motherfucker is Sancho Panza. That asshole, him and Raphael, man, those fuckers are up to no good.
Yeah.
So.
That I'd agree with. But I think Juan Lopez is the pimp.
Juan Lopez, man. And it's, you know, it's a brand with a history, because it's one of those things, it's a name, you know what I mean? It's the family's name. I mean, but it's like,
so
there's
what's the history behind Jose Piedra?
I'm going to give
you
this.
You know, I don't have a research.
I'm going to give
shit.
This to you. You don't care about this stuff. So
no,
in the 1980s, Piedra, the family, left Spain. They lived in northern Spain in a province called Asturias, to all you historians out there, which is basically in the Bay of Biscay, you know, in the Atlantic with France, etc. They went to Cuba, and they didn't go to Havana. They went to a small town called Santa Clara, which is in the middle of fucking Cuba. It's like three hours east of Havana.
Okay.
But it's actually, and here's one for all those Americans out there, it's 45 minutes away from Pepin's hometown.
Really?
Yeah, it's in that same Sancti Spiritus Cabaguan area.
Interesting.
And that's where all the tobacco comes from. They start growing tobacco there, making their own shitty cigars there with their own shitty tobacco, and they were good at it.
They're good at making cheap cigars.
Yeah, that's why on the bands it says Huerta Arriba, because that's the, well, you can't fucking see shit with the damn camera. But either way, man, it's there. There it is. Boom.
What does that mean? What does that mean in American?
In American means mm-hmm. the something. I don't fucking know, man. I'd have to look it up. Do you know what it means?
No, I thought that's what Google Translator's for.
I'll Google it. I don't even think you need to go there. I think Habanos will tell us. It's not the best region for growing tobacco, but it's all right.
But it's all right. It's Cuban.
It's Cuban. See, anytime you go,
no, so
all they're going to talk to you about is Huerta de Abajo,
mm-hmm.
which is the best region. Let's see, I'm going to find this out for you.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to do this for me. In the meantime, I am enjoying this fine Diplomaticos number 2. And I'm lying to you all. It sucks donkey balls. The draw sucks like ass, so I'm poking it with a toothpick because I can't. I lost my damn poker. I had one of those Havana savers, you know?
Yeah.
This is the shit. And I lost it. I don't know what I did with it. I got to find it because it's the. Or I just need to get a new one. But this could definitely use that. But for all of you aficionados out there, it's. I've had a few aged Diplomaticos and really, really, really love them. And I've had this box for about 2 years now. And every time I grab one, it just still seems to not be where the aged ones were at. So I don't think I'm probably going to touch it again for another 3 years. I'm going to let the rest of them sit for a while.
All right, well, the translation's too damn literal. It says back to top, which, like, turn around, which maybe just represents get the fuck out of there, man. But either way, this was the area.
Turn around, right on.
Good song. But, good song. But, yeah, this is one of the older regions of growing tobacco in Cuba, supposedly. It's one of those, this is kind of the area where they really began, and then they realized that there's better places out there.
Interesting.
But they stuck to where it is, and the factory's there too, so everything's getting made in that area. So it's, you know, it's kind of a boutique, local, small batch, short filler blend.
Well, you know, we did kind of an ongoing shootout where we both reviewed four different cheapos. We were all under $3. Over the last, should probably do it for about 2 months now. It's taken a while to get to them, you know. But,
can't smoke cheapos all the time.
Yeah. You gotta review other stuff, too. But, when I released my review today, and I thought it was the best out of the four, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of knew that going in, but I had never had. I thought that the Partagas was going to be my favorite because I'd had some of those Partagas before and they were really freaking good. But then I kept having bad experiences with them. So to me, it just seemed like the price didn't really justify what the delivery was. Like that should be a $2 or less cigar, honestly. Man, of all of them that I've smoked, and I've smoked Jose Piedra before, I've always liked them. They just, like, to me, whenever I smoke them, it's just, like, something I want to chew on and smoke it, like, gnaw on it in my mouth and, like, go kill some shit. You know what I mean? Run around in the woods and on a 4x4 and with a bottle of whiskey in my hand and being a American, you know, shooting shit.
Shoot anything, man. No, I agree with you. It's, you know... The one I think that comes in second is Fortacano, and I just think that's just because it's got some potential to it.
Me too.
But it's I don't think it can really compare with Jose El Piedra. I mean, it's just, you know, every once in a while.
I mean, go ahead.
Every once in a while, a short filler cigar is fun. It's just really, it's just, you don't really give a shit. You can just smoke it, enjoy the tobacco, and recognize it is what it is. And not really worry anything about it. I really don't smoke them that often. I'd have them around if I wanted to buy some. The only thing that's kind of short filler that I actually kind of smoked is Ilusión Dion's got the Cuchillos Cubanos, which are like sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got like that Churchill in it, like a 7x47. Which some of it's like 60% long filler, 40% short filler. And it's a really good stick. I mean, it's not complex, it's not like amazing, but for what it is, it's good. I think the Jose Piedra is better than that, but for being a short filler, I mean, it's pretty darn tasty. I can't deny it.
God, I was smoking it the other night, and I mean, I've smoked plenty of them, and to be honest, there's like five or six different sizes in the line, they're all about the same, you know. They range from like 5x37 to 6x43, which is the Cazadores. To be honest, the ones that I'd smoked in the past always kind of had that same kind of one dimension, maybe two dimensions, good, nice tobacco flavor. They've always been good. But everybody to me it seemed like everybody on the boards and online had always talked about the Cazadores being the best of the bunch. And
yeah.
They're the most expensive at $50 for a bundle of 25, but to be honest, I mean, it's got a tasty wrapper. I've smoked a couple of them, but I didn't, you know, review one until this week. And honestly, smoking that thing, I was just sitting there like, wow, there's not a ton of complexity, but flavors are really solid. It definitely had a solid change in it. Great finish. It left me wanting more. Like, I was just sitting there thinking about it. And I go smoke cigars with my buddies a lot of times, and I just bring the cigars. You know, my buddies have the beers and whatnot, or whiskeys and bourbons and whatnot, and I'll just bring cigars. And so I'll bring Cuban cigars for them from time to time, and they love them. But they don't really know, you know, any better. But they know when I give them a Cuban cigar versus a non-Cuban, for the most part, they can taste the difference. And I think that's one of those cigars that you could give to somebody and they could really appreciate the quality of the flavor without you having to break the bank, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The quality of flavor in them is it's there. It's really there. I mean, that very surprising to me, and it just kind of from this bundle, smoking a few of them now, having smoked probably five of them, I don't see myself not having them around because of how good it is. I mean, it's kind of like for me with NCs, whenever I'm not sure what I want, I just grab a Regis, and I know it's going to deliver a great flavor, and I love it, and I have a good moment. I know I can grab one of those Jose Piedras if I don't know what to smoke, and I'm confused, I'm like, I can just grab that, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be consistent, and it's going to have a great finish, and it pairs well with beers or bourbons, or whiskeys, whatever. It's just going to be good. You know, I'm not going to have a bad experience with it. And so, for me, it's just kind of a no-brainer. I mean, I don't know about you, if you like those poor Larañagas, but I thought those sucked balls. I mean, honestly, those little Panatellas taste like shit. I didn't want to smoke it again.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that love those and swear by them. That's why I wanted to include them in this, you know, shootout, because I'd heard so many good things about them.
It's not my cup of tea, the sizes, at least, either.
I don't mind the size. I like small, skinny cigars, but flavor sucked balls, dude. It just was so one-dimensional. It was like, I'm smoking tobacco, and that's all, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I'm smoking tobacco. Whoop-de-doo.
I mean, The Jose, for me, the Piedra is a line where it's like, these are something I could like smoke up on my land in Virginia, just when you're working out on the land, and you don't finish it, you're smoking, you're enjoying it, having a good time. I mean, you don't really need to worry about anything.
It goes out, whatever, pick it up an hour later.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's probably still going to taste good, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably put it down and then just let it rest and then relight it, and it's probably going to be just fine. So, you know, I think this is actually probably a really good wrapper. I'm going to say.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, mine had like maybe half a dozen green spots on it. And so, you know, it's got some under fermented tobacco, if you will. But, the color of the wrapper looked great. And it may not be smooth because there's a bunch of short filler under there, but the color of it and the consistency of the wrapper looked really good, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, is it the prettiest? No, but it's good in bed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, hands down, you're going to go pick up a short filler. You want to pick up some cheapos. Jose Piedra, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
No doubt. Without a doubt, Jose Piedra.
Do not buy poor Larañaga. They suck balls.
Yeah, you really hate that damn brand, man.
I do. I think that brand sucks. Other than that, that damn Encantos, man, that was freaking ridiculous. If I had any money right now, that's what I'd buy.
Yeah.
That was that 898 size, or Dahlia. That was freaking
Which
amazing.
Which is a great size. It's a terrific size.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sorry, I've had a long week.
Would you like, what were you talking about bourbon about? What were you going to bitch about bourbon about?
Bitch about bourbon? I'm not bitching about bourbon. I love bourbon.
Oh. I thought you said you were going to shoot down bourbon.
I love bourbon. Through. No, I'm going to slam bourbon because I need it.
Oh, you're going to slam? I thought you were going to bash bourbon. I was like, oh, man, what the hell?
Oh, hell no. No, no. I did Hunter Proof Knob Creek, Kentucky Straight. I've been really on this big Kentucky Straight kick lately. Like, I mean, I don't drink that much, honestly, but I'll, you know, a couple times a week, but I'll have maybe a little, a finger. But lately it's been the Kentucky Straight. That's what's really been killing me. And Knob Creek, Hunter Proof, this stuff is tasty. It is freaking good. It got me through my album last weekend, so.
Yeah, you got done with the studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good, man. When's the album going to be out, man? Rockstar.
Hopefully, we gotta record all the vocals, and we gotta mix it, and we gotta pay somebody to master it. So, hopefully, by the end of the year, you know.
Yeah.
So we gotta go through and edit everything. We did everything live, and so we did it in a way where everything is a live take. We didn't go in and track everything like bands do these days. We sat in a room and banged out all these songs. And so we did, you know, of each song, we did 4 to 6 takes of each song. So all the guitar solos are live. Everything's live. So we have to go listen to each one of them and decide as a group, you know, which take we think is the best take.
Yeah.
And then once we decide that, then we have to go cut the tracks all up to get that take out of them because they're all done on one track or one take, if you will. Multiple takes on one song, and so we got to go edit all that crap out, and then edit any noise, edit all the noise, beginnings and endings, and you know, stupid shit where we're talking shit to each other, and then start recording the vocals and all the harmonies, and that shouldn't take us too long. So vocals shouldn't take us too long.
Okay, yeah.
But it'll be fun.
We should do a show with your music with Dave from Cigar Jukebox.
Try and think what one would be good. Which is funny because Rob asked me to record an intro for Cigar Chat, and so we got this new mic coming, this expensive microphone that we ordered for our vocals. So when we start running it through the ropes and testing it out, I'm going to record an intro for him and then for him and Logan on Cigar Chat. And then I figured we would talk about what kind of intro we would want for Habanos Critic or What Embargo. Think about that.
You choose the tunes, brother. I'm just
and if our fans have any, you know, well, no, you know, like what kind of sound, what kind of style you want, whatever, we can figure it out.
Yeah, let us know and see if we actually give a shit.
Yeah, see if we actually care, because we probably don't. Feel free to send us anything you want. You can send us messages with recommendations and all that jazz, and chances are we won't give a shit, in all honesty. Yeah.
Not a priority for us, but that's okay. So, but yeah, man, so we kind of wrapped it up on the Piedras. Piedras are the shit.
That was fast.
It was fast, but, I mean, we can talk about some other stuff.
Yeah. We should talk about other stuff.
But we do.
I mean, that was a whole show in 20 minutes. What?
All right, this is a good question that was asked. Okay. Where the fuck did it go? All right, here we go. All right, tuna. I got into, and this is the San Cristobal of Principe. I got in the cigar when your review went out a little while ago, and I picked up in May, and you got a box code of AME September 2013. So I really liked them, so I ordered another box in July. with a box code, AME September 2013, same vendor. Mm-hmm. Then he was on a thread and a board, and he saw someone else had bought a box in August with the same box code, AME September 2013. Does it seem strange? Here's his question. Does it seem strange that the same code would last so long? I think that they're turning and burning, but maybe that's just misplaced. Did you just answer the question?
Yeah, my answer is no. Deal with it.
I don't know what my answer to, man. No. I'm not surprised.
Should I give an intelligent answer?
Well, no is an intelligent answer, but you can give a more detailed answer.
I'll give more detail because we love our listeners and we love our viewers.
It's a good question, though. I appreciate it.
Now, my guess, and I'll be honest, I mean, and this is just a complete educated guess. Sorry, sometimes golf balls come flying back here. My completely educated guess would be that I'm guessing most of our friendly neighborhood local LCDHs are in the Swiss. And to be honest, a lot of them use the same warehouse and distributor that comes out of Asia. So given that most of the buyers are probably buying from that, all this distribution is coming from Asia, basically, via Europe and via the Swiss, it makes sense to me that would happen. Because I don't think, you know, if I had to guess, I would say that, you know, they probably make a ton of boxes of El Principe 1 month, and then the next month they make a ton of boxes of this, and then the next month a ton of boxes of this. You know, it would make sense to me as a factory to go in spurts and say, okay, this month we're going to make a bunch of these, and the next month we'll make a bunch of these, and next month we're going to make a bunch of these. Because I can't tell you how many of the H. Upman half coronas you saw were the original run, September 2011. You know, ton of those boxes were hanging around with the Swiss and in Asia, and they're all coming from one distributor. So you got to think that think about how many cigars that Asian distributor sells.
Crap.
So when they're getting them in, they're getting pallets upon pallets upon pallets upon pallets upon pallets upon pallets. And so the reality is, there's no reason why there couldn't be multiple pallets of that cigar laying around with the same box code. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I saw a photo. I'm going to pull you and interrupt you. I saw a photo from a guy touring the H. Upman factory. And it was a photo of a pallet filled with boxes of H. Upman half coronas. And this was a big damn pallet because you could see the guy standing next to it. And it was packed. I mean, and I couldn't count how many boxes up to the side. I just all that, but there's more than one pallet, and you have to realize. I mean, it's not like it's a limited edition or anything like that. You know, stuff's gonna lie around. I mean, shit. If you go into some of your humidors, if you're in the United States, you go into a regular humidor, you're gonna find boxes of stuff that, if they put a box code on it, would probably be, you know, a box code from, you know, a couple years back. I mean, for class example, I was in my local, not LCDH, my local non-LCDH, and I saw a couple unopened boxes still in the cellophane of some Casa Fernandez, Arsenios and Aganorsa leaves. And I flipped over the box codes, 2011 box codes.
Yeah.
Never opened. He's like, they've just been sitting there. I mean, and that's... Sometimes the stuff just isn't moving. It's just sitting there. I mean, you can still get some older
boxes. Well, and not only that, I mean, I think the El Principes move a lot.
Yeah, but it's just there's a lot.
So that's why there's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see, hell, I could see that same distributor ordering, like, oh, yeah, we need more El Principes. Get two pallets in. And then one pallet is still left over from the last one that's just sitting there, and it still sits there while they go through the other two pallets first, and then some moron's like, oh, we still have this pallet of AMR 13s laying around. We should send those out.
Yeah.
You know?
But I agree. I do think that Habanos does focus on certain vitolas at a time. Because, for instance, I was trying to buy a box of AH Upman Sir Winston's, and I was going to a lot of LCDHs and going to a lot of other places, which I know usually have, and none of them have them. They just don't have them. They haven't been shipped any. They have them on order. They just haven't had them, which goes to show that Habanos just really isn't producing a lot of them right now. Mm-hmm. But when they do, they'll get them, and they'll be in stock, and they'll be in stock for a while. It comes in waves, man. Comes in waves.
Yeah, so to answer the question, I don't think it's weird at all. I mean, I've certainly seen certain Vitolas all come out with a ton of the same box code at any given time, especially something like that. Now, if it was, and we're really only talking about three boxes. It's not like we're talking about 300.
Oh yeah.
You know, chances are very are very high that that would happen. So
I should go open up my box and see what box code it is.
Yeah. Mine are 2012, December, November 2012.
Yeah, it's probably AME September 2013, but it's still pretty recent. You know, that's still recent. You know, production for Habanos.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I thought that was a good question. It was a good one to talk about, really, right there, because we had.
I think it is. I mean, that would be something that I'm gonna. You know, next time I run into somebody who worked in the Cuban factories, I'm gonna ask them that question because. I'm gonna ask them how they produce, if they do produce, because it would make sense to me, a cigar like that that is so popular, to just go, okay, instead of producing, you know, 500 boxes a month, let's produce 2,500 boxes this month and get them out of the way. You know what I mean?
You get the rollers rolling it, so the rollers are getting comfortable with what they're rolling, they know what they're doing.
Exactly.
I mean, you got the boxes, you can, it's a chain, man, you can just get it done with, fly through it. Get the sticks out there, because it's a great.
So, in 30 minutes in, I'm gonna have to change my mind. The Diplomaticos are starting to get pretty good, even though this one had some draw issues on it. They get this weird. It's almost like a really weird, super sugary, vanilla note. It's not like the standard. I don't want to say standard run-of-the-mill vanilla note, but you know how some cigars get that really cool vanilla note? Like, I love that note. So anytime cigars have that, I freak out. H. Upman's get it sometimes. And the Diplomaticos just has this really unique one, and I think it just takes a while for it to come out, because I'm starting to get it now. It didn't come out in the first third. It was still a little funky, and every time I smoke one of these, every few months, every 6 months or so, I'm like, it's not there yet. But it's actually finally starting to get there, so... Interesting.
It's, you know, it's like that that Cohiba I smoked earlier in the week, last week, which the band looked terrible, which I still think is the legit Cohiba. I really do. I've smoked enough Cohibas to, but first third was just. I mean, you could tell it was a young Cohiba. It was like, good God, you need a rest. But I got in the second third and I got these really nice vanilla bean notes. It really, really became pretty damn sweet.
It's always nice when that happens.
Yeah, but I mean, either way, you
the reality tell. Is, the reality is, if it needs, you know, I'm the kind of person where a lot of people will be like, oh yeah, this cigar, whatever. Like the first third kind of wear, but then all of a sudden it just like opens up and it gets good. Well, you know what, dude? I want the cigar to be good the whole fucking time.
Oh yeah.
I want it to suck for the first third and then it'd be amazing, and then kind of go brrrm at the end and be okay. You know what I mean? That pisses me off. Drives me crazy. So, anyways. So you reviewed the Sancho Panza this week.
You know, I haven't smoked a lot of them. I haven't. But that, it was soft, creamy, fairly flavorful, an easy cigar. It's one I could have any time. I think a lot of people could smoke it. Wasn't overly complex, but it was a decent, fun cigar. I mean, I don't know if I'd go crazy. What's up?
I'm thinking that either our palates just are way different, which they are, but I still think we tend to agree on what's really good. But man, I like, oh, that cigar sucked balls. I mean, it was terrible. Like, I tossed it, honestly. And I've tossed other Sancho Panzas that I've had. But I've heard people, like, swear by Sancho Panza, you know, and swear by the new stuff and swear by the old stuff. And I've had the new stuff and I've had the old stuff. And it was just like, eh, whatever, you know. The really older ones, the older, like, there's some older, like, Corona-ish type cigars that were really good by them. They're fantastic. But, and see, when I smoked it, it was, like, salty. It was, like, salty and like, real woody, you know, and it was just kind of like I was smoking, like, a slab of freaking mesquite with some seasoning salt on it.
I'm telling you, though, I sometimes get that salty quality with, you know, with Cubans, and I really like it. I think it's a really I enjoy the flavor. I think it's what really makes it unique, and that's one of those qualities that sometimes helps me really. Well, I mean, it's like that shows that Cuban tobacco flavor profile.
Yeah, it, well, you know, I mean, I don't mind that at all. When I think, you know, a lot of times Monte Cristo gets that, and it's freaking amazing. I love it. But same as San Cristobal will get that from time to time, the Punta and the Fuerza. But, yeah, all the Sanchos I've had were just like, I'd rather smoke a Piedra, honestly. It's weird. That's why it was weird when I saw you liked it. I was like, huh, that's odd. I didn't think you'd like that.
Yeah, well,
so maybe they've had some good runs as of late. What was the box code on it? Do you remember?
Let me put it on there, man. I'd have to look it up really quick. I want to say it was 2012.
Interesting.
Maybe 2013. Let's see. All right. Yeah, 2013.
Interesting. Maybe it's just newer runs. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Surprise me. Yeah.
The newer Clyde Orsay stuff has been really, really good, and the older stuff was not nearly as good. So, I know you don't like them. That's fine.
I don't want to fucking hear that damn line.
Their old stuff sucked, but the new stuff is fantastic. So,
well, you know, going back on Jose Piedra, because of what it is.
Yes, let's talk about Piedra again. What? Oh,
it's a global brand. It's in the Big Seven.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Huh.
Do you think it deserves to be there?
This is a okay, tough from question. It's two answers. From an aficionado's perspective, if I wanted to be a snob, I would say no because it's short filler crap and, you know, whatever. It's just cheap. And so it's kind of, you know, bringing down the brand, if you will, the branding of Habanos. You know, it would be like Regis putting out a short filler cigar, you know, with the Regis label on it. You know, it's like you're bringing down your brand name, you know, honestly, you ask me. Under another name, yeah, okay, but Habanos doesn't have that ability to do so because they're unique in that they're all Cuban. But from a business perspective, having run a business before, you've got to have a price. You've got to have a price point for every consumer. And they obviously have a ton of them. You know, really, when you think about it, I mean, gosh, we went through four that were under $3, you know, and there's more of them out there. There's Rafael Gonzalez. There's some Punch that are under $3.
Yep.
There's some Upman that are under $3. You know, there's a significant amount of short filler and budget cigars that they make, and you know, you got to have you got to fill that market. You got to give that market something. It's no different than the, you know, in America, the JFR, the 6x60, 7x70, big dumb, you know, cock size, dick cigars that they sell in shops for uneducated consumers. You know what I mean?
But
they're like, oh, some guy comes in, I want a cigar. Cool, take this big dildo and smoke that, right?
No, I smoked the new JFR XT.
Yeah, was it any good?
It is. I mean, they say it's stronger. It's not stronger. I think it's more flavorful than the other JFRs. It's box pressed. I'd be interested when the JFR Corojo XTs come out. Pick up a couple, see what you think about them. I really want to know your thoughts on them. I really enjoyed it for what it is. It's not mind blowing. I don't think it's as good as any of the other Casas Fernandez, but it's enjoyable. It kind of takes that place of Jose Piedra in some ways.
Well, see, you know, when you the thing is, and it makes sense then when we. Maybe it's a coincidence, but you know, having smoked you know, a few of these short fillers, and in all honesty, I've smoked plenty of the cheaper cigars, because I'm a fan of cheap throwaway cigars. Because then, you know, if I don't feel like, you know, dealing with something, I just want to grab something quick that I don't have to worry about. And of all of them, the Piedra was the best. So it makes sense to me that of all of them, that's the one that's the national brand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it is a pretty good quality smoke. You know, I mean, it's definitely I'll put it to you this way. It's so good that whenever I look at anything NC that's $4 or in that $4 range, I'm kind of like, yeah, nah.
Yeah.
Piedra's
much more worth it.
Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that it's a national brand for them, because I think it fits a business model. It fits part of a business portfolio in that regard of being able to cover everything. And you know, it's not like they're making any claims that it's this great cigar or anything. It's a short filler cigar, but it's handmade. They are still making them by hand, which is really cool. I think it's neat that it's not machine made. It's still handmade. So, you know, the binder and the wrapper, you know, are long filler, and they use a double binder on it. So you're getting at least Cuban tobacco out of a double binder and the wrapper, you know. And the filler is just short filler. Whatever, who cares?
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say this. All the tobacco from that region, look, I'm pointing at everybody with my pointer like some dickhead. The point is all the tobacco from that region, we can say all we want that, oh, the tobacco from that region isn't that good. That's why they're using the Piedras. But the reality is it's all the short filler from that region. All the long filler from that region is going into Habanos. It is. So it's not like this tobacco is not the same tobacco that's used in cigars that, I mean, for all I know, the tobacco that's in your cigar is the same tobacco that's in mine. I'm just smoking the longer leaves. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm smoking the scraps.
Yeah. So really, I mean, the reality is, you know, it's not like it's terrible tobacco. It's the same tobacco they use in, I'm sure that's used in as filler in plenty of Habano cigars. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, they moved it up to a global brand the same year they moved up H. Upman, which I think was a brilliant move to make that a global brand. So I think there was definitely some smart business reasons around it. I think they pushed H. Upman. They wanted to make H. Upman more recognized, and I think it's smart. I mean, now they're using the H. Upman factory. I think H. Upman's kind of, I wouldn't say taking center stage, but it's definitely taking a bigger role. And I think they realized at the same time that, listen, they can still make these cigars. My theory behind it is I think in the same year that they moved this up with H. Upman was the same year around the same time when Habanos decided to start cutting down quantity of production and focusing on quality. So they said, we're going to make
that. What year was it?
It was like 2007, I think, 2005, 2006.
Yeah, because 2005 was when they really started to get the draw thing under control, and when they started aging stuff at least a year, you know.
So you're focusing on quality, so you're going to be making better cigars. With that comes a sacrifice. They understood that, and so they said, "All right, with the sacrifice, we're going to have some stuff left over. Let's bring up Jose Piedra so we can still offer that readily available, wallet-friendly brand. And, you know, we can make some money off of it and make it much more available than it used to be." and we can also make our premium stuff better. And I think they've done it. I think they've done a good job with it. I think Jose Piedra has helped them do what they're doing.
That's an interesting take, because obviously for them to move Piedra to a global brand, they had to increase production to support demand. So because of that, they're probably getting more scraps. They're probably collecting more scraps, or more short filler, if you will. Interesting. I never really thought about that. Makes you wonder. Things that make you go,
Exactly. But it's, I have nothing against the brand. It's a brand I'd actually buy. I don't even know if I just, I give cigars to my father-in-law all the time. He doesn't buy them. I just give him a bunch when I go up there.
Yeah.
I would much rather go up there with like two bundles of Jose Piedras.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, here you go. And it's like, he'll be like, damn, you gave me Cubans. These are tasty. And I don't care what I do with them. It's like every other month I could, or every 3 months I could just bring up a couple bundles of Jose Piedras and knock it out. So winner on all.
Winner. Now the only question is, when will there be a regional? I want a regional Piedra, dude.
Oh my goodness. Well, they made some. Well, it's a global brand, so they won't do it. But they did it with Florida Cano.
Oh, they won't do it because it's global.
It's global, man.
You're right.
How sweet would it be? I'm just calling it Jose Piedra, Edición Limitada 2015. It's gonna be $7. It's gonna be a $7 Piedra.
That would be so badass, dude. I'd be so stoked if they did that. I would totally buy
it. Imagine if they made it and it was just amazing, man.
Yeah, it would be great.
But I'm going to announce at the end. We're going to do our first giveaway. We're not telling you what we're
really
giving. Yeah, but I'm giving stuff away, and it ain't going to be Crystal Pepsi.
No Crystal Pepsi.
You remember Crystal Pepsi?
Oh, hell yeah, I remember Crystal Pepsi, dude. Come on now. Well, I got a few years on you, bro.
Greatest thing ever. So, why do these people keep tagging photos on me? As everyone knows, tomorrow is the big game, the Red River Rivalry Showdown. Oklahoma Sooners. Between my Sooners.
Who are they playing?
Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh, okay.
The over-under is 47. So, and the game starts at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So what I'm going to do is between now and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can email me, you can message me, whatever. If you guess the total points. I don't care what it is. You say, let's say it's 52, you guess 52. Whoever the winner is, or winners, you're going to get surprise gifts, and then I'll email you back and get your addresses.
So, surprise gift.
Surprise gift. Try and guess what the points you think is gonna be. It's gonna be a giveaway, baby. Crystal Pepsi, Twinkies.
You kind of just jumped into a slippery slope. You know, before we were the show that didn't have any giveaways, so nobody comes and watches our shit. You know. It's not like we have the liberty to be like, oh, hey, come listen to our show. We're giving away a ton of free stuff today. Yeah, so people are going to come on watch on because they want to get free stuff, you know?
This is free stuff from Raul Castro, man. He sent it
from
to me.
Raul Castro. That's awesome.
We got to get Havana Club as our sponsor. That's what we need to do. We need to get a liquor sponsor.
That would be bomb.
Their rum's so good.
I've never had it. A friend of mine has the ability to get it. It's expensive to get it in here, but
yeah, what you got to do is you got to fly to Nicaragua and just buy it there because it's mad cheap. So.
Yeah, exactly. All the guys I go that I know that go to Nicaragua always bring it back with them.
I mean, that's what I did. So.
Which I may have to if I go in December. I may go in December. So if I do, I'll grab some when I come back.
It's like the Cubita. It's the Cuban coffee beans, man. Cubita is really good too.
Yeah, I've never had that before, and I wouldn't mind.
Really good. That's a really good bean.
I'm trying that out.
So what
I'm
else,
pretty picky
what
about else my beans, though.
You know, the next thing we're going to focus on, I'm going to make us go down that road, Cohiba Maduros.
All right. Really?
Yes, man. Just to make it painful for you.
Do I have to review it?
Do you have any?
Hell no. I don't have none of that shit.
Well, then we're going to talk about it. I'll review it.
Talk about it? Okay.
Because I know you
we'll
hate
talk about it. I didn't hate it. It was whatever. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to save that for the next show, whatever 17 is in Spanish. Let's save it. And then we are going to do a show on Hector Luis Prieto.
Let's do that. Let's do next one be Hector, and then we'll do the Cohiba Maduros.
Okay.
Because you just smoked some of his little customs.
Yeah, no, and you need to try them out. You need to get some from your friendly neighborhood, LCDH.
Yeah,
and review them as well, because it's interesting. Yeah, well, now I'm not going to talk about it because that's a whole other show.
The whole other show.
So we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that at all. Let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk about something else. All
right. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about bourbons?
No.
What do you want to talk about, man?
I don't know. This is one of those episodes, which we haven't had in a while, where we ran out of shit in like 20 minutes, so now we don't have anything to talk about, so now we just need to talk shit.
We flew through it.
Yeah. So how long?
Well, years ago, we had a show like what? 2 weeks. So.
Did we? What was our last show? It was Quinceañera.
Yeah,
Quinceañera.
The air, whatever it was. Would you ever age a Jose Piedra?
Hell yeah! You know what sucks? Man, one of my... how should I word this? I once attempted to obtain some 2005 Jose Piedras from my friendly neighborhood, local LCDH, and... they got lost at sea. I was put it that way. Yeah, it was a bummer. They got lost at sea, and apparently they were valued at $400, which was hilarious. I thought that was great.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, I was like $400. It's not worth $400, but yeah, apparently they got lost at sea. I'll leave it at that. But dude, this is like
so darkness. Guys have been aging these.
Well, no. I think that was one of those things where an Asian distributor had a big bunch of them sitting back somewhere and went, oh, here you go. Here's a bunch of 2005s, you know. Smoke away. You know, I just found some lying around like they do.
It's interesting. I'd love to age them and see how they do with time. It's kind of like the Fortacanos, you know, just kind of what can age really do to a short filler cigar.
You know, I mean, if you had to ask me my opinion, I don't think you're really going to gain much in the way of complexity, because really the complexity comes in the combustion of the leaf, you know. You probably, if anything, you'll gain some finish. I would say the length of the finish is probably going to gain, but if you like them fresh, I would say don't age them at all, because they're probably going to lose that pungentness, that upfront pungentness pretty quick, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, God, when I smoked it, it was like this. There's just this smooth, coffee-ish type thing going on the whole time. There's just like this creamy coffee, great finish. And so I would think, you know, in the first half of it, the finish wasn't that long. I would think age would probably, if age was going to do anything to it, I think it would just kind of maybe increase the finish in the first half of the cigar. You know, maybe make it a little bit longer, but
I think it would just become really smooth. I don't think it'd gain a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would just it'd just smooth it out. I'd imagine it'd just get smoother and more mellow and just, you know, a little bit more balanced, if you will. Like, I just smoked I think a good relation would be, I smoked an aged Nicaraguan cigar that had, like, 6 years on it, and it just didn't really have much definition to it. It was just really smooth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was smooth, good finish, one-dimensional, nothing crazy, but it was a really good finish, and I think that's kind of probably what would happen with something like that. Whereas, you know, something like this, you know, this Diplomaticos, I'm noticing a definite difference from the last time I smoked one. I think I smoked one on one of our shows,
yeah,
actually.
You hated it.
Before, and it sucked. And so this one, at least now, is better. So however long ago that was, it's gotten better in that six-month time frame, however long that time frame was. So.
Oh, the other thing I smoked the 2009 regional for Canada, the Vegas Robaina, Petite Robaina.
Oh, yeah. Those are expensive, man.
That was a good, good smoke.
Oh, I bet. It's Vegas Robaina. It's got to be good, dude.
Robaina.
Mm.
So, but, yeah, I got
yeah, the Canadians love those Robainas.
They do, man. Well, they also like Boulevards. They're a big Boulevard guy, too.
Yeah, they are. They are. Seems like they've got the Robaina and the Boulevard regionals banging all the time.
Yeah, they have that. And that's one thing I think now that we're seeing regionals, kind of these countries only being able to get one regional a year. I think you're going to start seeing more and more regionals for particular countries. I don't think you're going to see a lot of these countries go away and start picking up some new ones. I think it's going to be kind of like in every other year, you're going to see them swap back and forth. For some reason, I want to say England's just going to go back and forth between Juan Lopez and Florticano. I think Asia's going to do Por La Arnaga, some Ramon Iones every once in a while.
Seems like those Florticanas get really, really, really good review from the Brits.
Everybody
loves those things, or at least they speak really highly of them from what I've, you know, seen. That's been my experience. I've never had one before because it just seems like it's expensive, and I'm like, I don't know.
It's really pricey. They're really pricey, but like you said, what I've heard is nothing but amazing things.
Hmm.
So maybe that's our next venture.
I'll have to ask Akil next time I talk to him.
Yeah, talk to Akil about it.
And hopefully if I get lucky, you know, by the end of the school year and get hired to a decent contract, then, you know, I'll have a little bit more money to spend on stupid crap. Even though I have so many cigars right now, it's ridiculous. It's insane. It's just, I have an entire overfilled cooler that didn't exist before IPCPR. Now I just have this cooler, you know.
The cooler door, man.
Full. Yeah, I know, but I don't need coolers all over the goddamn place. I got 7 humidors and a wine fridge already. You know?
Oh, I know, man.
I don't need any more. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. Crazy. The thing about Cubans, man, they just keep piling up in the damn humidors. But, yeah, man, so what I'll do is, anyone who's listening, between now and 12, noon tomorrow, right before
noon tomorrow,
between Texas and Oklahoma, email me what you think the total point is going to be, total points.
Can they tweet you?
No, I don't want tweets. Yeah, they can tweet me. They can direct message me a tweet. No, they can't.
Okay. Yeah, they can DM you, can't they?
Yeah, they can DM me.
Okay.
And, well, I have to follow them, don't I?
Yeah?
Yeah, they just have to say, hey, if I don't follow you, message me saying, tell me to follow you. Or you can email me at Seth@CessHumidor. You can Facebook message me, Seth Geis, you should be able to find if you follow Habanos Critic on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, we'll get some goodies going your way.
Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi, baby.
Crystal Pepsi. I think I'm going to be Heisenberg for Halloween. walk around with big, big bags of Clorox. It'd be awesome. Dude, you want to hear something crazy? Okay, and this is totally random, and it's made national news. It's made international news. So there's this. It has nothing to do with cigars, but whatever. We're just talking shit at this point. We need some filler. There's some guy in Wasco, which is this little Hispanic suburb about 30 minutes north of me. It's a farm town, and it's a prison town. So there's whatever. Anyways. Some guy and his wife wanted to do something artistic, so they started this Instagram called the Wasco Clown, and they started taking all these pictures of, you know, this guy dressed up as a clown with, like, balloons in a clown suit in all these different places in Wasco, and it's a real old kind of town, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, and so all these people are, like, all creeped out about it, like, oh, it's creepy clown, blah, 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 and the guy came out, he's like, dude, it's just like an art project, like, whatever. Well, now it's spawned, like, all these copycats. So now in my town, there's been reports. Like, there was reports at a high school yesterday of clowns running around, like, chasing kids with freaking axes and clubs, like, in different parts of town, right? And
jeez.
Just, yeah, like, all these phone calls are coming to the authorities and everything. And then today they finally popped somebody. They finally got some guy for doing it. And just straight up, like, threw him in jail. It was on the news. It was on the news tonight. I mean, it made I want to say the Daily Mail in the UK, because it's spawned all of these copycats around here. And it's kind of like taken over our town in the last week. There's all these different creepy looking clowns that are posting pictures on Instagram and.
I'm looking at it. That's crazy.
Yeah. There's the Wasco Clown, and then there's more that are out there in Bakersfield. And they finally caught one of the guys today. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, this is like, of all parts in California, this is like Texas here. Everybody carries. The sheriff will give you a concealed weapons permit if you ask. Like, you do not want to go run around in a clown suit in this town because everybody is carrying a gun. And even the people who don't have a concealed weapons permit are carrying guns. So you're just going to get shot. So I was amazed that this was going down. And I don't know, it was freaking hilarious.
These are creepy photos, man.
I know, they are, aren't they? They're awesome. And it happened like, no bullshit. It happened like within walking distance of my house.
That's nuts.
Crazy. That freaking crazy. Quote,
that was good quote.
And I'm like, if I was walking my dog and some fucker came up dressed like a clown with a club, I would beat the shit out of him. You know what I mean? He would get a roundhouse kick and get his fucking leg broke, and I'd just start beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. It's a little intense for me.
Yeah. Axe, yeah, I'd run away. I'd run away from an axe.
I'd probably freaking run too or pull out my gun. So, well, man, I just finished my Jose Piedra, too.
That's wonderful. Just in time. So we did much bullshit in the last 20 minutes. That was.
That's the conclusion of episode D.A.C. Says. We'll be back.
Yeah, and I just want to go on the record and tell everybody this last 2 weeks of grad school were hell for me. I think I've written like half a dozen papers and tests and all sorts of bullshit. So I haven't been reviewing as much as I would have liked to the last month. So as of next week, I go back to only one night a week, which is going to be freaking great. So we can get into doing some more crazy stuff.
We can get into
back to the show.
Get back to conclusion of episode 86.
Yeah, next show. Dude, what's the next show? Is it the 27th or something like that? What are we... Side on. Look at my calendar.
Let me look at this. 25th. No.
Okay. Yeah. I can't do the 25th.
Oh.
Grandma's turning 90.
24th.
Yeah, I might be able to do the 24th. That I might be able to do.
We'll do a preliminary 24th. Yeah, I can't do it that following weekend. I'm gonna be up in Virginia, man. Gonna be up in the land of Virginia.
Yeah.
Virginia's for lovers, baby. So we'll shoot nice. for the 24th.
Nice. We'll shoot for the 24th. That could be our Halloween. I may have to dress up as Heisenberg. You know?
I'll put on my little... Yeah, I'll figure out what I'm going to be. We'll do it.
We'll do it. It sounds like a plan.
What Embargo. Follow us at HabanosCritic.com.
Woo!
Form. Follow us on Facebook, Habanos Critic and What Embargo.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, brother.
Thank you so much, guys.